And that's what His Word says. And that takes faith. To believe that Jesus is the one God who became man to die on the cross to pay for your sins so that you could have eternal life. And He proved it all by rising again from the dead. It takes faith and understanding that an exercise of faith is believing that He did all of that for you. And so that should make a difference in your faith. And when you trust in Him, and many of you have already, if you haven't, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God through Jesus. But it should cause you to believe Him to do what He says He will do. For example, if you have trusted Him for your salvation, is He going to keep you saved? Absolutely. He says He will never leave you nor forsake you. That your salvation is secure in Him. Can He keep you? Yes, He can. Can you trust Him to forgive you? You know, I often hear people say, "Well, I can't believe what I did. I know that others have forgiven me, and I know that God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself." Now, let me ask you this. Is your forgiveness greater than God's? You know, I think there are too many Christians who are bearing the burden of guilt that they do not have to bear. You come to Jesus and yes, it's serious. Sin is serious and it affects your relationship with God. And if you're holding on to sin, it's going to continue to affect that relationship with God, kind of like a parent and a child. Or, you know, we watched Funniest Home Videos the other day and they walk in and the dog's like, "What did you do?" And the dog's like, you know, it's like, "And oh, you're a bad boy," you know. And some people, that's the way they are with God. You know, it's like, I can't, and they go through life with this cloud of guilt over them, you know. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That should be freeing to you. It's not so that, if I sin, all I have to do is ask forgiveness and everything's great. No, He writes those things to you so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We're talking about a parent-child relationship. It's awesome. But if He says He's going to forgive you, does He forgive you? We can believe that God will do, that Jesus will do what He says He'll do and cleanse you from all of unrighteousness. He will comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. He will never leave you. He will care for you. Scripture says you can cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. He will strengthen you. He will enable you. If you believe Jesus is God, you can expect Him to do what He says He will do. That's a tangible truth. Why? Because that's what the Scripture says. That's the substance and evidence that we have here. Here's the second tangible truth, and that is, Jesus, if He is God, therefore has the authority of God. It builds on this. It's kind of stating the obvious. But if Jesus is God, Jesus has the authority of God. My dad and I work at Mapleside Fruit Farms in Brunswick, Ohio, up just south of Cleveland. When I was a kid going through high school and into college, I always had a summer job. After school, I went to Mapleside Fruit Farm, picked apples and graded apples and so on. Dad, after he retired, he actually then worked there in his retirement for several years. It's a family-owned business, and the Eisen family owned the business at the time. And Mr. Eisen, Bill Eisen, was the head honcho. He was the owner and all. But he had two sons that ran the place. And if either of the sons asked us to do something, I never said, nor did I ever hear my dad say, or anybody else for that matter, say, "I don't have to do what you tell me. You're not the boss. You know, you're just one of the kids. Your dad's the boss." I never heard that. That's kind of what you have going on here. Now, I know we're getting into the Trinity thing, okay? And if you can explain the Trinity fully, then help me out here, because you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are three in one. But here you have Jesus, who is the Son, has the authority of the Godhead. All right? Jesus, because He is God, has the authority of God. And in verse 2, He says to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this time, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow's blaspheming. Why?" Well, in Mark chapter 2, they were thinking, it says they were thinking, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" You know, think about that. What is this text saying about Jesus and who He is? So knowing their thoughts, verse 4, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? But here it is, underline it. Verse 6, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Jesus is stating here that He is in fact God. He has the authority of God. It's not a matter of you can't do that because you're not the Father. That's kind of what the teachers of the law were saying. You can't do that. You're not the Father. So He has the authority of God. Here's the point. He is able to do that which man cannot. He's able to do that which man cannot. What is that? He's able to heal the body and soul. He's able to heal the body and soul. You know, we forgive. We've patterned our forgiveness after God, okay? But we forgive on a horizontal level. You know, if I would punch you in the nose, I would, sinfully angry, and "Hey, you know, Jason, I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me?" And "Thank you. I appreciate that." You know, so there's a horizontal forgiveness there. And so then He grants that forgiveness. But God has the vertical forgiveness, right? He can do that which we can't do. We can't forgive sins in the 1 John 1:9 sense of the term. If we are faithful and just, He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we pattern our forgiveness after God's. And so we see here that He forgives sin. Again, I come back to this because I think so many are so burdened by sins of the past. Or maybe it was sins yesterday. And you said something during that ball game that you shouldn't have said, you know. It's like, oh, you know. So you ask other people's forgiveness, you know, because they heard you say it, you know. And you need to ask God's forgiveness for whatever you may have said or done. Whatever it is. And so that's where I think too many people just carry the burden of their sin, the guilt of their sin, rather than believe God that it is under the blood through Jesus Christ. It's truly, as the hymn says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. You see, that's why Jesus died. Very often I'll have people come into my office and they'll just dump their sin there, and they're like, "Oh, I just can't believe what I've done," and they just have that burden of guilt. And I have the opportunity then to minister these truths of which I'm ministering to you here today, and that is, your sin is exactly why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus came. He died for your sin and mine. And He did that out of love. He wasn't like, "Oh, I can't believe those sinful, dirty, rotten people. Now I got to go die on the cross." No, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus forgives sin. What a blessing to know that your sins are forgiven. Amen? Wow, you know, that is grace. We don't deserve that, right? We don't deserve that. And if you think you do, you need to rethink. And you know what? Here's another quick thought, and that is there are a lot of people. I know that God has forgiven me, but I want to say it very bluntly, and that is just simply that's pride. Because again, is your forgiveness greater than God's? To believe. So what you have to do, and you may say, well, I still feel guilty. You know why you may still feel guilty? Is because you're not in faith believing that your sin is taken care of. So you're compounding your unbelief. And that in itself is sin. And so, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. And live in light of that. Bask in the forgiveness of God. Don't take it for granted. But just think, and any time that thought and the burden of that guilt comes into your mind, you're saying, oh, God, I believe in your forgiveness. I'm freed from that sin. And live in light of His, think forgiven, live in light of His forgiveness. And because Jesus has authority, it should cause you to humbly and gratefully submit to Him through humble obedience, not reluctant and hesitant, but willingly following and obeying Him. Do you need forgiveness today? I heard someone, this is years ago, they wrote a book and they said, man's greatest need was a good self-esteem. I'm like, what? Man's greatest need, your greatest need here today is forgiveness. You need Jesus. And you come to Jesus in humble submission and you cry out, oh God, save me. And then you live in light of that forgiveness. There's forgiveness at the cross, and Jesus has the authority of God to forgive. And the encouragement, come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus and know and experience the forgiveness that He has to offer. Here's another tangible truth, and that is Jesus cares for your whole being. Jesus cares for your whole being. This passage teaches that Jesus cares about the whole you, not just the spiritual. It's not just a matter of your sins are forgiven, but He cares for your physical well-being also. Look at verse 2. When Jesus saw their faith, in fact, this is the first thing He did. He said to the paralytic, take heart, son. There, you know, he used endearing terms. He cared for him. Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. That was His greatest need. So He cares for you spiritually. Your sins are forgiven. But also, He cares for you physically. Take up your mat and go home. He healed him. Again, verses 6 through 8 there. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, take up your mat and go home. And the man got up and went home. He didn't roll up his mat and then go, man, I gotta take this mat out and I've got to keep using it. You know, I got to go back to that all the time. No, he took it up and he didn't go back to that mat. And he went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They praised God who has given such authority to men. I don't think they fully understood that Jesus was God. But they're like, wow. So we see here, I think, that the physical was, in this situation, and is closely tied to the spiritual. We are whole persons. Jesus cares for the body as well as the soul. When you are hurting physically, Jesus cares. There's no need to despair. You can have confidence because all life is connected to the spiritual, to your walk with the Lord. We have several in our congregation who are going through ongoing health concerns. You can go online and you can look at our prayer reminder, or you can pick one up out here and you can go through. There's a paragraph of ongoing health concerns. And we have, each week we highlight two of our shut-ins. Pray for those folks. Can you imagine going through pain and difficulty and suffering for years? You and I are here and you know, we're blessed to be able to be here. They're shut-ins, they come when they're able to, but they've been going through what they're going through for years. First of all, some of you may be going through something right now, right? You know, it's like it might be that back, it might be, you know, or maybe a diagnosis, something, just not sure. But whatever it is, I want to assure you that Jesus cares. And here's the point I'm driving at, and that is, so often I go visit our shut-ins or people who are going through those ongoing concerns, and they're like, first of all, they're very thankful for any visit. I encourage you to reach out to them. Send them a note. Give them a call. Visit. They're so thankful. And so often they're like, well, you know, I'm just so thankful for all that I have and for how God's caring for me, how He takes care of me through this. And I'm like, wow. They get it. Why? Because the physical is tied to the spiritual, and it turns their heart to the Lord. That's how He wants you to respond in those difficulties, as opposed to becoming bitter. They're trusting the Lord. So here's drawing this to a conclusion here. These tangible truths, all right, these tangible truths establish the basis of faith in God. Jesus is God. He has the authority of God, and He cares for you body and soul. The whole person, everything there is, He knows and He cares. And so because of that, you can place your full faith in Him for all aspects of life, not just the spiritual, but the physical as well. So how should this help you? Well, first of all, it should help you in that I hope you understand that faith is tangible. It's not just vague and ethereal, like kind of trying to reach for a cloud. No, faith is tangible. It's substance and evidence. And Jesus is that substance. He is that evidence. And we know of that through the Word of God. So understand faith is, but faith is also foundational in that it is, our faith is in Jesus and His Word. So when you pray, it's not a pie in the sky by and by. Like, I just hope God takes care of this. No, you're going to His Word. And here's a little bit of homework. If you're struggling with any matter of faith or measure of faith right now, go to the Scriptures and start studying the promises of God. You can do probably a Google search on that. Or there are Bible.com, you can go and you can do searches for promises, and so you'll find things like, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just will forgive my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He'll never leave you. He'll care for you. You can go to the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you're not stuck with your sin. It says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were washed. You can claim the promises of God. And then understand that faith is exercised by action. You believe something and you take action because of it, kind of like the trust fall that we were talking about earlier. The paralytic didn't just hope that, oh man, someday I hope I run into Jesus. He said, hey, you know, he got four guys together and he said, will you get me to Jesus? Well, the house is full. Well, let's go up on the roof and let's tear the roof apart so that you can get me to Jesus. He was acting on his faith. Jesus saw his faith. And I think that applies again to 1 John 1:9 as well. Now, what might you be asking God to do in faith? And you're hesitant to do it. It takes faith. Like, oh God, help me. It could be surrendering to Him for salvation. You may be here today and you may, okay, this just sounds too easy. Or there's got to be another way. No, it's through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so exercise your faith in salvation. Come to Him in salvation. If we can help you with that, we want to explain that to you. It could be a matter of telling somebody about the gospel. You know, did you ever get kind of nervous? Maybe you, over Thanksgiving, you had family or friends in, and And they're thinking, man, that, you know, cousin Joe really needs the Lord, you know. Man, somebody ought to talk to him. Maybe God's saying, you need the one to be to talk to him, you know. And so by faith, you're going to say, okay, God, help me. Maybe it's write an email or a letter or a card or you call him up or go visit, whatever. Maybe by faith, you're going to say, I'm going to do this. And God, help me to do this. Could be asking, granting forgiveness, as we've talked about that. To believe that there's forgiveness there in Jesus. Could be a matter of restoring a relationship. Yeah, it might be hard, maybe difficult, but you're going to believe God. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am ready and I'm willing to forgive so that the relationship can be restored. And I don't understand it, but I am going to go ahead and I'm going to take steps by faith to restore this relationship. I don't know. It could be choosing to trust God with, in the midst of a trial, to trust Him and have joy as opposed to anger and bitterness. That's a measure of faith. To believe that, you know what, God is in this. He's up to something. He's up to something good. I'm going to find out where and how He's at work. I'm going to get involved in what He's doing. I'm going to expect good effects. That's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. And in a moment, we're going to be taking an offering. Did you ever think of offering as a matter of faith? You know, if you made $100 this week and you say, well, I'm going to give $10 of it to the Lord. Like, oh, that means I've got to live on $90. Can you believe God that He will bless your giving and provide for you, even though you're, in that sense, sacrificing? So even that's one of those difficult things that God's asking you and me to do. And by faith, you're going to do it. And trust God to provide. So here you have the opportunity in very tangible ways to exercise your faith. We say we believe things. Are we going to act in light of the belief? Just like this guy did. I believe that Jesus can heal me. I just pray that someday He walks by my mat. Or, you know what? I believe He can heal me and I'm going to track Him down. And man, that house is full. I'm going to tear open the roof to get me to Jesus. An exercise of faith. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we need You. Because as the Scripture says, we may have faith, but Lord, increase my faith. Help us, Father, because so often we fall so far short in the matter of faith. And faith is really a gift from You. So we ask for faith. And we ask for Your help in exercising that faith. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know about you, but how may you need to exercise your faith? Say, it may be a matter of salvation. There may be someone here this morning say, you know what? I don't understand it. I have some questions, but I know I need to surrender to God in salvation. Through Jesus, there is no other way. It may be in the matter of guilt. And you may need to say, you know what, God, I believe that You have forgiven my sin and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Help me to live in light of forgiveness and think forgiven. It may be something that might be the restoring of a relationship. It might be the matter of giving. I don't know what God may be wanting you to do. But God is at work. And I just encourage you to respond, to exercise that faith here and with God's help and enablement. Father,